Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit, and has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. For he has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The responsorial psalm, the gradual that Jackie sang for us, Psalm 44, "Hearken, O daughter, see and incline your ear, for the King greatly desires your beauty. All beautiful is the King's daughter as she comes in, robed in cloth of gold." Did you read it? Did you follow along? It's in your bullet. You can contemplate as it goes. That's another pitch for our lowly worship aid here. And that's a psalm from back I didn't get a chance to look it up. I'll take a wild guess that this one might be 800 to 900 years before the birth of Christ. And when and there's a reason why the church has us sing that today, is because with the assumption this is already prophesying about the king's daughter, who the king would be greatly desired her beauty. She'd be clothed in glory and robed in majesty in cloth of gold. And we hear that in the first reading from the book of Revelation, the very last book, written some 100 years after our Lord's ascension into heaven. And in there we hear is like the skies opened up, and this woman clothed with the sun. This is a representation here. They got the sun and with the moon at her feet, 12 stars crowning her head. We have that represented here, but that's also right around the corner. You kind of see it, Our Lady of Guadalupe, moons at the feet, crown of 12 stars. She's clearly clothed with the sun because the sun's like behind her, and the rays of sun and light are beaming out around here. Right from the book of Revelation. And with that miracle of the tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it was made completely obvious that this is goes right in hand with wasn't just some picturesque LSD dream that St. John had, but rather, no, this is real God speaking through him to prophesy in this way. Now, what I wanted to go through right here this evening, first of all, is there's been different times in the last number of months I've referred to how there is a physical structure of the universe that we don't invent, but rather we discover. The physical structure of the universe. Science has been doing that for millennia, still doing it today, more, and it's usually one discovery opens up the pathway to figure out another and another. And just maybe even just last century, we have Father, a priest, Father George Lemaître, is the one that first really kind of put together what is what we call today the Big Bang. And then there, but he was standing on other people's shoulders, and you see that, like, as science goes more and more, you start to see how all the different fields are interrelated and all the different discoveries are interconnected in a way that as soon as something comes into greater focus, it sheds more light on this, and then it starts to become obvious how these two things are geared together, and then eventually what they're looking for right now is the grand unified theory. Those of you who are science buffs are in that field. Something, because there can be, we're realizing, wait a minute, it's not, none of it's random. There's a system behind it, there's order behind it in the way that we're beginning to discover it and make, understand it, make more sense of it, and it's beautiful, but we don't fully understand it yet. The spiritual order is just like that. As certain things start to be revealed to us, we start to piece this thing together with that thing, and from revelation from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and then as we unpack these things, guided by the Holy Spirit, we say, oh, wait, that connects to this and this here, and then and we begin to realize, and this is what the church proclaims, is that it's all absolutely interrelated, and it's something that we, quote, discover, and something that is revealed to us. It's not something we make up. These aren't stories that we make up or like nice quaint things. This is revelation coming into clearer and clearer view over a very long stretch of time. And when we come to the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, even though it wasn't only defined until 1950, just 75 years ago, you think, but already you can trace the story all the way back to see how, well, first there was this, and we look at the understanding Mary as the mother of Jesus, who is God, and that we know that because Gabriel said it to her, and it's right there in Scripture, and the virgin birth of Mary, without having had any relations with a man, conceived through the Holy Spirit, and all those data points there start and begin to point towards the Assumption. And already back in the early 200s and 300s, some of the early church fathers started to realize that, well, wait a minute, if that's that and that's that, well, then that's got to mean this over here. And so that's when the Immaculate Conception starts to come into clearer focus. And that's where the Assumption starts to come into clearer focus. Mary as the new Eve, the one who undoes what, together with Christ, through Christ, undoes what the first Eve did. Mary as the queen of heaven and queen of heaven and earth. Mary as this model and example of what the church is. It's all interconnected, and it's not just interconnected with Mary. It's also connected to every single sacrament and every single doctrine of the church, and it's all interwoven just the way, as we're beginning to discover, all the laws of physics are completely interconnected and inseparable. Okay, so now we can geek out about that all evening long. We're not going to do that. But I think what we do want to do is say, okay, that's great. That's really cool. It all works together. It all pieces together, and that's awesome. And we can study that. It's, oh wow, look at that. And it's, but that it shouldn't stop there. It shouldn't stop there, because it's shining a light. All these truths, all these this spiritual structure of reality, it shines a light right on you and tells us things about ourselves and about our relation, what our relationship with God should look like, what our relationship with God is called to be, and how important different things are. And I just, in my own little geek out this afternoon as I was thinking about like what to highlight, it's like the fact that the Immaculate Conception, Mary's virginity and motherhood, like virginity and motherhood, why are those mashed up together like that? That tells us something about our own sexuality and the purpose of it, and how it's deeply intertwined with our soul and our identity and our salvation. It's like, oh my gosh, That's not what the sexual revolution was telling us. For sure it wasn't. And if we're going to recover what was trampled and tossed out by the sexual revolution and destroyed by it through contraception and things like that, and through everything that's thrown at us constantly at the internet, we start to look at the assumption as just one entry point. There's many others. And we start to realize, oh, that's why this isn't working when we ignore this rule and that moral truth and this, and when we ignore these different things. And that's why, okay, that now I understand why I'm not happy, why my spiritual journey is plateaued, or it feels like I gotta hit a glass ceiling. That's just one example. But what we do with our bodies is meant, our bodies are meant to glorify God. They are meant to be receiving God and giving the gift of God back to others. That's what the Immaculate Conception and the Virgin Birth and the Assumption are about, because this body is not destined to stay here, or stay like it is, rather. It's destined for heaven. And the gift that our Lord gave Mary was that it would be completely preserved from anything that would prevent it from going directly to the place where it belongs, complete union with God. That's why virginity is such a highly elevated thing. Now we think of, what's virginity? Oh, that just means that they just haven't been with anybody yet. No. It's way more deeper and spiritual than that. And not everyone is called to live that, because otherwise there'd be no babies and we'd never have kids and the population would stop. But it starts to put it in focus. It's a gift of self. And it's a gift that bears fruit. Mary was a virgin and she had the greatest fruitfulness, you could say, of anybody. It says so much about what all this sexuality is for. It's for gift, giving, fruitfulness. Not selfishness, not inwardly turned. Anyways, that's all kind of like a sidebar. But in all these things, when we come before Our Lady in here, we can contemplate her beauty, contemplate the glorious state that she is in, knowing that this does not make her more distant from us. This actually brings her closer to us. And I'll just finish with this thought that I've repeated here before, but from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. The way he said it was so great. He said that sometimes as sinners, we think we can hang out with other sinners, like they're at the bar or whatever, and it's like, yeah, you guys get me, and we know each other because we go through the same, we have the same problems and all that. And there's a certain truth to that. But the people that really understand what you're going through isn't another sinner or a bad sinner just like us. It's those who don't have sin, because they can see what God has created us to become and be. And so the Blessed Virgin Mary, more than anyone who ever walked the face of the earth except our Lord, understands us and is able to love us even in the midst of our greatest failures and sins and weaknesses. And she's reaching out to us because she wants us to be. She says, listen, look at me. This is what God wants to do with your soul, with your body, with your salvation. I receive this as a gift. He's giving it to you as a gift if you will walk with him. Let me guide you as a good mother would. So there's so much to unpack there, and we're going to leave it at there. But that's whose feast day we celebrate, Our Lady, immaculately conceived, a virgin mother, and an assumed body and soul into heaven at the end of her life.